Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Sorry about that. I was just grooving to the music. Don't mind me. It is Bowerly with you on a Monday on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I'm not going to lie. I'm somewhat disconsolate about what happened with the football game yesterday and the inability of the offense and the inability of the offense to capitalize on some gift penalties, gaining 30 yards. And they were so close, and they should have. But you have to admit, I hate to admit this, and don't lynch me and don't shoot the messenger, but they were the better team, and they are a better team than what we are. And it is what it is. I am wearing my Josh Allen jersey today. It's kind of a Monday tradition, but I'm not going to say that I was entirely satisfied with his performance or the offense in general yesterday. I'm just saying. Would have been a lot nicer to come in on a Monday with a Bills win, but at the end of the day, I guess it doesn't really do anything one way or the other for our lives, really. I mean, Phil Kennedy would still be here today, even had the Bills won. The weather would still be what it is, even had the Bills won, and you'd still be way behind with your holiday plans, even if the Bills had won. Hopefully, you had a magnificent weekend. I, as always, had an absolutely magnificent weekend. I do want to thank the guys in Hit and Run and Flipside for allowing me on stage to play some songs with them over the weekend at the Rain Tree in Tonawanda, or as music snob Gary Johnston calls it, the Tree of Rain instead of the Rain Tree. We have our little pet names for the various places where our little congregation, our little family gets together. And it always ends. The weekends always end with a shameless viewing party with William Macy. And it's an utterly disgusting show, devoid of all class, devoid of all morals, devoid of all sensitivity. And it is right up my alley, naturally. All right, 10 minutes after 3. Tell you what, gang, if you see any traffic issues whatsoever, you may avail yourself of the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board at 30930-3930. That is the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. We always appreciate it when you give us a hand with traffic. And also, for your listening pleasure, maybe we'll make you a winner today, because today, and my understanding, every day this week is going to be the opportunity to win tickets to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And then on Thursday of this week, it is the Radiothon to benefit the SPCA. So we will be live on location for that. So we've got a pretty full week, and a week to which I am really, really looking forward very, very much. So I hope you are as well. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. Okay, I always say it. Tom, quit saying that. There are numerous things that we could conceivably talk about today, and we'll see what tickles your fancy, because if I could read your mind, I would be in a different line of work. I'd be a medium or a psychic or something like that. But, you know, I'm just saying. So one of the things that is a hard news story that I do want to share with you is it's very, very interesting. I don't know that, at least as far as my purposes, this is going to be the topic. But I feel that perhaps we'd be remiss if we didn't at least mention it and try to figure out how much coverage this is going to get in other media. But the watchdog, the IG's office, the Inspector General's office of the federal government has ripped the FBI, which, as you know, is a component of the highly politicized DOJ, handling of Russia probe. This is actually from Politico.com. The Justice Department review of how the federal investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia found no direct evidence of political bias in the launching of the probe. That's a key sentence. No direct evidence of political bias in the launching of the probe, but also identified a bunch of inaccuracies and a bunch of omissions by the FBI that kind of put a damper on the FBI's requests for court order surveillance of a former Trump campaign advisor. Now, that opening paragraph, I'm sorry, but it sounds like double talk to me. We find no direct evidence of political bias in the launching of the probe, but the process by which the surveillance began of the Trump aide was basically inaccurate and omitted a whole bunch of stuff. But they refused to ascribe motive to it. Well, I'm sorry, means, motive, opportunity. What would be the logical reason? I mean, just use your common sense here. What would be the logical reason why there would be omissions and inaccuracies if you're trying to get a court order to surveil a Trump campaign advisor? The only motive for that would be politics and political bias. Otherwise, why do it to begin with? I can't think of a good reason. It reminds me, in a way, at least the opening paragraph, and you'll forgive me if I go back to 1963 and 1964, but it kind of reminds me of what the Warren Commission did. The Warren Commission investigated the assassination of President Kennedy. And basically, with all respect, they started with a thesis that Lee Harvey Oswald and no one else assassinated President Kennedy, and there was no evidence whatsoever of a conspiracy. And witnesses who countered that viewpoint were, in many cases, not even called to testify. People who saw things that did not comport with the official report, or conform would be the better word, simply were not called. And if you actually read it, and there are 26 volumes, and it's kind of boring, some of it, but sometimes they would begin a line of questioning that would lead to something promising, and then they would divert the questioning into a totally unrelated and irrelevant area. So, no, I'm one of those crazy people who does not believe the conclusions of the Warren Commission and has an issue with the way the entire investigation was conducted. And as I always like to say, hey, if there was nothing fishy going on, 56 years later, what possible national security interest would there be in still withholding some of the documents put together in the investigation, in particular FBI files and CIA files relative to Mr. Oswald? But I digress. And I only mention that because, you know, some people would say, and I'm probably one of them, that there are fingerprints of the deep state, in my opinion, on the Kennedy assassination. And I think there are elements of the deep state when somebody makes a statement that there was no direct evidence of political bias when they started investigating the Trump campaign advisor, but the requests the FBI made for surveillance of the Trump campaign advisor contained inaccuracies and omissions. And what other, again, I hate to repeat myself, but I do it all the time. What other motive could there possibly be? The report today, as we advance things half a century in 6 years, this report today from the Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz also revealed for the first time that the FBI used a confidential source to approach an unidentified high-level Trump campaign official in September of 2016, who was never the subject of any investigation. That approach revealed nothing of value to the probe. This is according to the IG's office. Horowitz's review did not find any indication that the FBI planted anyone in the campaign. They didn't find any indication of that. President Trump has claimed that that happened. The Horowitz review did not find that, but the report does back up Trump campaign officials. The fact that they were repeatedly the focus of outreach by so-called confidential human sources seeking to establish whether the campaign was colluding with Russia. Now, again, as I say every single day, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not sure where honest investigation begins and collusion begins. I don't know. Or not collusion, entrapment. I'm not sure about that. The report that came out today did find that those kinds of tactics complied with existing FBI policy. What, reaching out to somebody to see if they'll commit a criminal act? But the review contains withering criticism of the FBI for basic, fundamental, and serious errors. Say that again. Basic, fundamental, and serious errors handling the surveillance applications for Carter Page. He's that campaign advisor we mentioned earlier. Now, this should be, I would think, a source of concern to any thinking American. I don't care if you are on the left. I don't care if you're on the right. I don't care if you are in the middle of the road. When the allegedly foremost law enforcement agency in the government, the FBI, makes basic, fundamental, and serious errors to surveil somebody, that should concern you. I mean, that's a pretty heavy-duty tactic. And presumably, the FBI's done this once or twice, and they know the rules, and they know the ropes, and they made a bunch of mistakes when it came to Carter Page. We are deeply concerned. This is the Inspector General today. We are deeply concerned that so many basic and fundamental errors were made by three separate hand-picked investigative teams on one of the most sensitive FBI investigations after the matter had been briefed to the highest levels within the FBI, even though the information sought through the use of FISA related so closely to an ongoing presidential campaign, and even though those involved with the investigation knew that their actions were likely to be subjected to close scrutiny. Well, let's just pick that apart just a little bit, if we may. They would be subjected to close scrutiny only if the desired result was achieved. Only if the desired result was not achieved. I happen to believe the goal was to help Hillary Clinton, who was supposed to have won in 2016. Had Hillary Clinton won in 2016, how much scrutiny would the Clinton presidency have given to the tactics used by the DOJ and the Department of Justice through FISA in surveilling Carter Page? We probably never would have heard of Carter Page. We probably never would have heard of any of this stuff. We believe, goes on the Inspector General, this circumstance reflects a failure, not just by those who prepared the FISA applications, but also by the managers and supervisors in the crossfire hurricane chain of command, including FBI senior officials who were briefed as the investigation progressed. So in other words, the rottenness went all the way to the top of the FBI. Anybody thinking the name I'm thinking? President Trump has welcomed the report, which he said exposed deep corruption at the FBI. Deep corruption at the FBI. President Trump says it is a disgrace what happened with the things that were done to our country. It's incredible. Far worse than what I ever thought possible.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
They fabricated evidence and they lied to the courts. This was an attempted overthrow, and a lot of people were in on it and they got caught. And again, the reason they got caught, the reason this is even an issue, is the unthinkable happened. President Trump won the election. And again, I do become somewhat frustrated with some of the people who tend to see the world as I see it, as someone who identifies as conservatarian. I'm kind of conservative, but I'm also kind of libertarian. I'm not a... I'm not a right-wing extremist by any means. I do tend to see things on the right side of the aisle with a heavy dose of libertarianism thrown in there. And I, again, just have to go back to the idea that it is frustrating to me that the same people who in 2019 speak openly of the deep state, or whatever you want to call it, whether it's the deep state or the shadow government or the people who really run the country, these people, to me, seem very naive when they think that the deep state began in 2016 with the Trump campaign. I would submit to you that what we have seen during the Trump administration is basically an attempted coup d'etat in America. I would also submit to you that any reasonable reading of the facts of the Kennedy assassination way back in 1963, in particular Oswald's activities in the Civil Air Patrol, the Marines, as a so-called defector, in going to Dallas, then New Orleans, then Dallas, the trip to Clinton, Louisiana, with Clay Shaw and David Ferry, backed up by multiple witnesses, that there exists, to a reasonable person, based on Oswald's associations, his friendships, and where he was spotted, and other circumstances, like the fact that somebody was impersonating him when he was in Russia, point at least to the possibility of a conspiracy, even if you are not willing to go with me all the way and say Lee Harvey Oswald was probably working for American intelligence. Even if you're not willing to go all the way down that road with me, if you objectively look at Oswald's background, I think that a sufficient case can be made that it bears a lot more scrutiny than simply calling him a lone nut Marxist, and that the very real possibility exists that what happened on that fateful day in November of 1963 was a coup d'etat in America that was brought about by assassination. And as former Secret Service agent Abraham Bolden has said, you know, there are different ways to decapitate a president. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, there is assassination, as what happened to JFK, and there is also bogging somebody down in investigation after investigation, crisis after crisis, to preclude that individual from enacting the policies upon which he ran. In other words, you tie somebody up with so much BS that they cannot pursue their agenda. That's another way you can decapitate somebody or neutralize somebody. And then, you know, in the case of the Russia situation, the alleged Russia situation, conservative commentators have openly said that they think that this was an attempt at a coup d'etat. And to those people, I would say, well, geez, if you think it could happen in 2019, you don't think it could have happened in 1963? Just doesn't make sense to me. But that's neither here nor there, I suppose. Yeah, that is not Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and we need to start integrating some Christmas bumps into the music bump rotation. Some old school Christmas bumps, you know, like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Phil, you know, stuff that you'd never heard before, but unless it was, you know, Matchbox 20 or Nirvana, forget about it. And, you know, to Phil, Nirvana is an oldies group. I'm just saying. Kind of? All right. It is 3:38 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So let's see. By the way, I would appreciate it if when you texted, you would do so in English as opposed to German or Latin, because I don't have the time to go to Google Translate for your text messages, and I would need a few minutes to figure out what somebody texted me in German. So I was talking, I guess, well, I didn't specifically mention him, but the James Comey situation. Somebody who texted in on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board says, Tom, you used to tell us that James Comey was the utmost in uprightness and honor. Yep, you're right. I misjudged James Comey, but I'm in pretty good company with misjudging James Comey. James Comey is one of those guys whose dark side flew under the radar for a long time. And sometimes people can do that. They can pull the wool over your eyes. And there are two things I always tell you. Number one, don't take anything I say to the bank. What you need to do is do your own research. I can offer my personal opinions, but you certainly have the abilities to do your own research and come to your own conclusions. And the other thing I always say is that new facts, anytime new facts emerge, I always reserve the right to change my opinion. And I don't know, to the person who texted, have you ever misjudged somebody in your life? Have you ever thought somebody was a friend and it turns out that they weren't really a friend? Have you ever misjudged an employer? Have you ever misjudged? It happens all the time. You know, we form our judgments of people in part based on the opinions and the esteem of other people, in part based to the things that we have read or seen and maybe the commentary of other people. But, yeah, I misjudged James Comey, and it wasn't the first time I've misjudged somebody, and it won't be the last time I've misjudged somebody. And the same texter also made a reference to Bishop Malone. Well, I am not, as I've said repeatedly, I'm not Roman Catholic, so I'm not looking at this from a religious point of view per se, but from a person-to-person point of view. And I still have feelings of affection for Bishop Malone. Might not be the popular opinion, might not be what you want to hear, but I probably have spent more time with Bishop Malone than you have. And I've looked, unlike James Comey, I've looked into his eyes. I have had personal conversations with him, and my view on the bishop is not distorted through the prism of the media. Do I think he's perfect? No. Do I think he made some big mistakes? Absolutely. But do I like the man? Yeah, I like the man. What do you want me to say? Am I supposed to just go with what's popular and what people think, or what I think people want to hear? Or shall I tell you what I really feel? And it's easier to tell you how I really feel because it's too hard keeping up with lies. And I'll tell you somebody else on whom I've changed my opinion. I used to be nastily anti-Jimmy Carter. For those who don't remember, Jimmy Carter was the president of the United States from, 1976 until 1980, before Ronald Reagan beat him after one term. Jimmy Carter, as a president, was, in my opinion, an absolutely terrible president. He was in over his head. He also, by the way, Jimmy Carter, allegedly dealt with some deep state issues. You know, to this day, the former president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, if he's writing to world leaders, he will not use email, because he strongly and firmly believes the intelligence apparatus of this country is surveilling him. So he goes the old school way, and he sends his correspondence through the mail. Now, we can all sit here and laugh about the naivete of that being any kind of a deterrent, knowing what we know about what this country did to letters going to and from the Iron Curtain countries back during the Cold War. But the long and the short of it with Jimmy Carter, I used to be nastily anti-Jimmy Carter until I considered what Jimmy Carter had done after he was president. And this is going to make some of you very angry, and that's okay. As a human being, as a man, as a Christian, I think Jimmy Carter is one of the most decent men who has ever inhabited the White House. And I think his service after his term of office to the poor and needy, to building homes for them, I think it speaks for itself. He was not somebody, and is not somebody, to the best of my knowledge, who spends all of his time running around doing public speakings at $100,000 a pop. He helps poor people. Former president of the United States. So was he a great president? No. I think he was one of the worst presidents this country has ever had. At the same time, I also happen to think he was one of the most honorable and decent men, if not the, to inhabit the White House, and his deeds bespeak that. But, you know, you never know with people. Sometimes, and I don't know if this has happened to you. I don't mean to get off on a tangent, but sometimes it's kind of fun to bring stuff like this up. And I don't know about you, but there are some people that, you know how you meet some people and they kind of give you the willies? They kind of creep you out. But then once you start talking with that individual, and once you start getting to know that individual as a person, you realize that your initial misgivings were ill-placed. You realize that you misjudged them. And maybe eventually you become good friends with somebody that at first you thought was maybe a little bit creepy or a little bit odd, a little bit eccentric, and they turn out to be pretty cool. And contrarily, I'm sure you've had experiences where you met somebody and you thought that they were, the best thing since sliced bread. And down the line, you find out that they really weren't that great. And it can be difficult knowing whom to trust. I know a bunch of people who have been burned in their interpersonal relationships or their business relationships. As a general rule, and I hate to say this because I do number some politicians and political types as friends, but as a general rule, I find that the more enmeshed somebody is in politics, either right or left, the less I am inclined to trust them. Because for some people, politics is all that matters in life. They are obsessed with power. They are obsessed with governance. They are obsessed with all of those things that people watch on C-SPAN. They live, breathe, eat, and sleep everything political, to the exclusion, and this is an important clause, to the exclusion of virtually everything else. So I always think it's a good idea to at least keep the monomaniacally politically oriented maybe a little bit at arm's length, irrespective of how close you may feel to that individual. And it holds true for men. It holds true for women. And that actually brings us into a topic that I actually wanted to talk about on the air with you guys on WBEN. And it involves text messaging. I've got, by the way, if you're just joining us, I felt duty-bound to share with you the Inspector General's report, and I'm glad I did. I'm happy about that. As far as that, for my program being a call-in show, I don't know that it's going to work. I don't know that it would work, to be honest with you, because everywhere I went this past weekend and all of the people that I hung out with this weekend, not one person brought up anything politically. Not even, behind my back or off to the side or in front of me. Nobody was talking politics. Everybody was talking about, hey, what are you doing for the Bills game? How's Christmas shopping going? Did you decorate yet? Did you get a tree? It's stuff like that. I mean, this is the way real people live. I don't know many people who are focused 24/7 on C-SPAN. And I'm kind of glad that I don't, to be very brutally frank with you. But the issue that kind of caught my attention today is that of, and don't go turning off the radio. The general theme has to do with texting. Texting. Now do not touch that dial, because there is, a school of thought out there, and the author of the piece I'm going to get into coming up is a proponent of that school of thought, who argues that texting is a detriment to society. Now, this is a great opportunity for those of you who are millennials, for those of you who are Generation X, Y, or Z, or if you're listening in Canada, Z. Have we reached Generation Z yet, Phil? I can't keep track of all the numbers and letters assigned. It used to be so easy. The pre-war generation, the depression generation, the Cold War generation, the baby boomers. It used to be easy. Now everybody's, it's like trying to name a hurricane. So anyway, want to get into the way we communicate and the shortcomings thereof. and it is just one of many things I would like to get into today. A couple of funny texts on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Tom, I know you don't need to refer to a French dictionary for coup d'etat. And, the person texted back, the Malone point was not that I misjudged him. The Malone point was, quote, they used similar political attacks to oust him. I can't disagree with that being a very strong possibility. I know people who are very in touch with the diocese. They're very in touch with the politics within the diocese. And, you know, How do I say this? I cannot dismiss that at all. I cannot dismiss because, guys, everything in life, and we've talked about this previously, everything in life, every organization, every institution, every government agency is split and divided in this country. And it's like 50-50. And some institutions, a lot more than 50-50. Take, for example, the Department of Justice. The last time I looked this up on the internet, 95% of the donations in 2016 by employees of the DOJ were made to Hillary Clinton's campaign and not to Donald Trump's campaign. Now, that is pretty weighted in one way. And the DOJ, you can look it up online. I don't see the point in doing that right now and wasting your time with it. But, you know, the DOJ is the umbrella title for a whole bunch of federal agencies, such as the FBI. And just momentarily getting back to the IG report, and I hope you'll forgive this hour being a monologue. I didn't have that as my intention when I came in to go on the air today, but it just kind of worked out that way. It is very disconcerting to me. And again, I think that if you are a left-wing radical or a right-wing radical, I think we can all agree that we do not want the federal government to play politics with our constitutional freedoms and with our liberties. And what the FBI did, and its embarrassing sloppiness in getting the warrant under FISA to surveil Carter Page, is inexcusable, especially because there were three hand-picked investigative teams, and especially because the entire charade was overseen by FBI officials at the highest levels. And one might logically ask the question, what's the difference then between the FBI and the MKVD in the Soviet Union in terms of using the machinery and the tools of federal law enforcement with its broad powers to act as political agents? If you're on the right, you shouldn't like it. If you're on the left, you shouldn't like it. I mean, there are left-wing civil libertarians. ACLU, for example, is not exactly a right-wing organization. I know, nor is it exactly gifted with 2020 vision on issues. All right, 356 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up in the next hour, we're probably going to give away those tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I want to get into the whole texting thing. And I've got a whole bunch of other stuff I'd at least like to get into on a Monday as we all lick our collective wounds after what we saw yesterday on TV with the Buffalo Bills on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.